Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
No longer will I let you clowns out to trick me. They wanna lock me up, they wanna Michael Vick me. Give me a government order, vaccine make me sickly. This world is not what it seems, past Officer Ricky. All the gays in the industry with more secrets than Vicky. A menage of sin, they all chasing Nicky. Straight to the devil's door, cause hell isn't picky. Let's say the game is fair, definitely hard. You like that movie with Whitney minus the bodyguard. So you had no protection, death is your reflection. The love of money's like a poisonous lethal injection. People are selling their souls to the highest bidder, giving their way to morals, and they never consider the repercussions of living life as an atheist. Loving God should be number one on your bucket list. Jesus coming back like a thief in the night.
Well, hello, welcome once again to our internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside. Are you ready? Are you ready for the things that are going on? Do you see what's happening in society today? Oh, my God. We thank God for men and women that are standing in the gap, men and women that's making a difference. We are happy to have on our show this morning Mr. Alexander, the president of the Next Generation Action Network, a multicultural nonprofit organization striving for social change for all people, regardless of the race, religion, nationality, gender, or sex. Amen. Or age. Amen. And also we have as our co-host this morning, Carol Reed, is going to come on and she's going to conduct the interview with Mr. Alexander this morning. Carol Reed is no stranger to our Blog Talk Network. She has been on our show before in a different format, but that's what we would like to just tell you something about her. Carol Reed herself is an activist for human rights and civil rights. Changes. She also continued to work with her alumni at Southern Methodist University regarding these issues. She have made two pilgrimages with the SMU Civil Rights Pilgrimage sponsored by the SMU Theological Program. This Civil Rights Pilgrimage have allowed her to visit, walk, and stand in the exact same places as Martin Luther King and other civil rights historical men and women, following the footsteps of the soldiers for the civil rights movement, and also in martyrs for the civil rights movement. Amen. So we'd like to bring them two on, and we're going to open the phone line up. You two can join the conversation, be a part of the show at 310-982-4126. You two can call in and ask our guests a couple of questions, or just kick back and rejoice and enjoy the program. And now the next voice you'll hear will be our guest, Mr. Alexander. Good morning, Mr. Alexander. Good morning, Mr. Alexander.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How you doing? Thank you.
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we have our co-host on the line also, Ms. Carol Reed. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Carol. Good morning, Mr. Alexander.
Good morning.
Well, I'm gonna just kick back and enjoy this show. Mr. Alexander, I'm going to turn you over to Carol Reed, and she's going to conduct our interview. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Mr. Alexander. It's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning, and thank you for your time and everything. Brother Joel, thank you for the opportunity to sit in and co-host with you this morning. Mr. Alexander, I tell you what, I've looked over your the website for the network, and it is fantastic. It's wonderful what you all are doing. So let me just give you an opportunity to, in your own words, to give us kind of what the network is all about and tell us a little bit about yourself and the network that you founded.
Well, I can give you a gesture of the history of Next Generation Action Network. I have been a part of organizations, the NAACP and the PUSH Coalition, done several works for different organizations. This time last year, a year ago, I felt like there needed to be a more stronger presence for the next generation to have a platform to be able to lead and be able to address some of the concerns that's normally going on. Normally, these organizations, they normally welcome us in, and, you know, they welcome us in into a more lower type level. But the next generation have some impactful leaders across America that if a platform presents itself, they will be able to lead and make some very impactful change. So I wanted to be able to focus an organization, not X-ing out people that's over the age of 40, but someone, the organization that really focused on impacting the people of the ages under 40 and under. And I started the Next Generation Action Network to take on that issue. And I did not want to make an organization that's based off just one race. I wanted to build a multicultural organization because I feel that the problems that is brought about in America are going to take all of us. And I don't care what race, color, skin, whatever it may be. It's not a black problem. It's not a white problem. It's not a Hispanic problem. It is a human problem. So we commit ourselves to be able to fight for not only civil rights, but human rights. And we started the Next Generation Action Network based on that principle, fighting for our education system being purposely underfunded, human sex trafficking, domestic violence in the community, violence in the community, police brutality, I grew up in Oak Cliff, Texas, and I started a foundation about a year ago called the Kelly Alert Foundation, in which we have a bill on the Texas floor called the Kelly Alert for victims of imminent danger between the ages of 18 to 64, similar to the Amber Alert and the Silver Alert, but this is for the people between that gap. So we're trying to do some amazing things and being able to be impactful, to be able to change some lives and help some lives.
That is incredible. That's a lot y'all have going on, and I love the whole ideology behind it being young people, and it kind of takes us back to the Civil Rights Movement, but that involves SNCC, which was a young organization of, you know, per se college students and under. And I know for a fact they went all the way back to elementary age, even in the Civil Rights Movement where, you know, you had your college, and when they got arrested, then they had to move to the actually even lower grade school children out there in the Civil Rights Movement as foot soldiers. So that being said, I mean, I understand also, Mr. Alexander, you're an ordained minister for the Chula Missionary Baptist Church. And so with that being said, I wanted to pose this question. The Civil Rights Movement, the foundation of all of what the Civil Rights Movement was, you know, involved an organization of ministers and by and large the church itself. I mean, we all know that the boycott, bus boycott in Alabama was constructed of a pseudo bus station or transit system, if you will, through the church and through members or volunteering their cars and they're buying automobiles to transport those people for the entire year of the bus boycott. And so you've been an ordained minister and this movement you have, what would you say, because I think what's missing here, and it's just my opinion, you know, is the participation of the church, the strong participation of the church that made the Civil Rights Movement so successful. So what role do you think the church should play today with your organization, as organization such as yourself? What role do you think the church can play today, and do you even think they will?
Well, I can tell you this. As a historian of the Civil Rights Movement and other movements that went across the world, I know that the church had a very strong presence in being able to bring about change. Even when, and if you read the Bible, change came with the church. I feel that the church should have a more stronger presence. And my organization is gearing up to make sure that we can be able to galvanize churches to have a more stronger presence on the issues that's going on. It saddens me every day that we don't have our churches being heavily involved with the things that we're doing in the community. I tell people all the time, I in the city of Dallas just alone, we had more of the top 100 largest churches in the country in the DMW matrix. And I just think about that, and that we can be so much impactful. But I know that the government, know that the people that, push oppression towards different people, they know that. And they do the strategy very strongly to make sure that we're not able to be impactful in gaining the support of churches. So under the direction of my church, the True Love Missionary Baptist Church, Dr. Emmy Sargent, one of the founding members, the Oak Cliff Ministers Union and the International Ministers Alliance in Dallas. And I've been working very closely with pastors to be able to bring about change in our community. And being able to connect with pastors with history that they cannot argue with.
Okay, that's incredible. And I totally agree with you on that. And I am hoping that the churches will become more involved in this movement. And you're so very right. It's the most successful mega churches here in the Dallas area, in the Texas area. You would think that we would have a little bit more support on that. And so I'd like to ask, I understand that you work with an organization that likes to involve the young people, a young people's movement. So with a generation that is so violent prone towards one another at times, how are we going to be able to get them to protest or conduct themselves in a non-violent manner that would garner this new respect for a generation, for an organization such as yourself? How are you going about in the recruitment of young people, and how are you getting these young people that nowadays they have quite a violent mindset to come together and come under the umbrella of an organization such as yours?
Well, the main thing goes about I'm trying to build an organization where it'll be likely and more innovative that young folks be able to come. I tell you, most of the time, they find me.
Okay.
They find the organization, then we finding them. And right now in the community right now, we just have to have things that's going to be able to impact them. And when we get them, we educate them on the people that did it in a violent way, and we educate them the people that did it in a nonviolent way. And we weigh out the success and the things they were able to accomplish. And everybody agree at the end of the day that the nonviolent folks accomplished a lot of things. And we just go about history, and most of us know about Martin Luther King. And most of us are tired. I think we went on a dormant stage. My mom's generation, my mom agreed with me that in the 90s and the 80s, it kind of went on a dormant stage. I think black people and different people start getting a little bit of it, a lot of stuff was a little bit addressed, and they was like, okay, and it went on a dormant stage. So I believe that this is a generation that will bring this thing back up and put it back into the grid to really be able to take this thing to another level, and being able to address these serious racial comments, racial things, lack of opportunity in our employment ship. I just spoke at the commissioner's court this past week. Mike Contrell made a comment, John Wiley Price and Elba Garcia. They was bringing the diversity into the new Parkland Hospital, and 57 out of 57 top executives, 42 of them was white. And the commissioner, Mike Contrell, he made a comment. He said that, I know that we always say that the staffers should reflect the patients, but maybe the staffers should reflect the taxpayers. So we protested him to ask him exactly, who is the taxpayer? Sir, are you telling us the minority community do not pay taxes in Dallas County? you know. So and right now, you know, we very well need to stand up on these issues and address these issues.
That is fantastic, man. That's the way to go. Y'all are holding their foot to the fire on the important issues out there, and I mean that's a wonderful thing to know that y'all got that covered too. Okay, and so I'm gonna shift gears, and in terms of the in light of all of the latest things that have been happening out there in the community, in particular with the violence upon young African American Latinos and even poor whites, what do you think your role will be in reaching out to law enforcement to have them come to an understanding or come to more involved with the community and coming together so that maybe we can work some things out with regards to how they approach us in our communities and even how we react to them when they come into our communities?
Well, main first thing, you have to open up the dialogue with these folks. About a month ago, I was invited to a police simulator. And what I went through in this simulator, it was with the Dallas Police Association. And what I went through is three different simulator cases of live interactions of how police, what they go through. I did a press conference, and they asked me a question. They was like, what do you do? Well, main thing about it is when an officer tells you to do something, please do not hesitate to stop and render aid or do the things that they're telling you to do because we cannot win it in the streets. Most people felt like I shouldn't have done that. You know, most people in the police brutality thing, I shouldn't have done that. But we have to open up the dialogue to be able to interact. Now, they invited most of all of our state leaders and our city of Dallas leaders and mayors to do this simulator. And I was the one guy that was able to do this simulator. Now, at this advantage, I'm able to use this at my best advantage in being able to address some of these concerns that's going on in our community. So, with that being said, we were able to make some alliance and be able to open up dialogue between the Dallas Police Association and our organization to be able to go into this next year with some strong reform towards policing and definitely address this issue. So we're definitely opening up our dialogue and being able to the community needs policing and the police needs community.
That's awesome. I don't even that's how you do it right there. And to just like you're going and getting the tools that you need, and that's perfect. Like that's kind of, I mean, you know, I just think everything you're saying is just right on point. I mean, you're going in all the right directions, and I think that this is going to be a wonderful thing that I hope the listening audience is taking all this in and finding out ways that they can get in touch with this organization, because I can tell you, as you've heard Mr. Alexander explain, you know, they are going in the right direction in bettering our communities. And so it is just important, the work that you all are doing. And so, Joe, at this time, will you be taking questions for Mr. Alexander, or should we keep moving along?
I think this is a great interview. We want to thank both of you for being on here and doing what God ordained you to do. Mr. Alexander, you hit on some very important points about the church being involved, how the young people are seeking you out. Will you give us some information? And the phone lines are filling up, so we'll give Mr. Alexander plenty of time to express his thoughts and comments regarding the questions that you have asked him, and they've been very timely questions. Mr. Alexander, give us some information on how someone can get in touch with your organization and be involved in what you're doing.
Well, currently, you can go on our website. It's just www.nextgenerationactionnetwork. That's www.nextgenerationactionnetwork. Or you can go on our Facebook, the Next Generation Action Network. We're on Twitter. We're on Tumblr. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We're on all the social media handlers. Or you can call our organization at 866-337-3060. That's 866-337-3060. And I'm also on Twitter under Minister Dominique Alexander and on Facebook under Minister Dominique Alexander.
Great, great. Thank you for that. Now, Kerr, will you please help, go ahead and finish conducting the interview? We got the phone lines building up here, so we're going to get some more questions presented, then we'll open the phone line up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Alexander, I'm loving this interview. This is so great. So and in regards to some of the information that you picked up in working with the police, what advice did they give you on how minorities are should act when they're approached by the police if they have provided information with you? Did they give you any insight on how we should conduct ourselves when we are approached by, say, law enforcement?
Well, the main thing about it, the most educated way is that to take the mindset only that we cannot win it in the streets. We cannot win it in the streets. I don't care how you feel. I really don't care how reserved you feel. Please, for your protection, always, if the officer tells you to put your hands up, we pray that this officer do not do anything unconstitutional. But one of the things is that you can pick up your phone. You can audio. You can do whatever you want to do to audio and make sure that whatever's done, you're safe at this time. And we want to make sure that if this officer tells you put your hands up, officer wants you to do, that you're rendering everything that this officer is doing. And that if you wait and this officer violates anything of you and you wait later, we will make sure that this officer is held accountable towards his action, towards what's going on. So we don't want to be going after protesting later on. After someone has lost their life again, we are trying to raise awareness so people can understand that we need everybody to have a mindset of being able to educate themselves on how to interact with police officers. And then at the same time, we're working very diligently on how officers need to interact with citizens. And that one thing is that the officers need to stop killing our unarmed black men in our community and our minority people in this community, where the races and statistics are very, very high of unarmed men. And over 40 years, no one has been indicted of shooting, a fatal shooting of an unarmed black man in 40 years. You know, and we have so many of those cases, and we must address those cases. We must address them, and that's what we're doing.
That's fantastic. You're right about that, and I have to agree with your mom, because I'm probably from her generation, and she's right. You know, we did lay dormant for a while. I guess, I mean, as we were growing up, we were probably young, but it seemed like there was a dormant. Everybody got complacent on how things were, but today it seems so much like. We're returning to all of the community issues, the violence, and all those things that were happening in the 50s and 60s that prompted the movement of the civil rights movement. So the Next Generation Networking is a wonderful place that a person can contact your organization for information regarding issues that they may have had with the police. Is that correct in doing so? And if not, you guys, what are the proper channels they can take when you're abused by the police?
Well, yes, we definitely will love to hear the case and hear it out and being able to address it. Right now we have numerous of cases of officer interactions of people that are currently alive, and we're currently addressing them and being able to make sure that we put the right attention
right.
on these cases. So definitely we are working with a couple of people who are doing that. So you can definitely call our organizations if you're having a problem with police interaction in your community, different things. If you want to your police department to step up more community policing in your neighborhood, you notice that they keep on sending different officers in your neighborhood, and you want to make sure that these same officers are being placed in your neighborhood to know your neighborhood, to know the people in there. Because one of the things that I-line, if they keep on switching people into your neighborhood, that encouraging, that brings harassment more up. You get me? Because you don't have a person that really knows the neighborhood, knows the folks. I stayed in McKinney for a brief minute, and most of the officers there, they knew me. They used to go down the street and they throw their hand up or whatever because it was the same officers. They were the same one. They knew who I was. They knew, you know. So if it's anybody come out in the neighborhood and they come and they like, nah, that dude, he ain't from no neighborhood, you know. So that's more the community policing that we need. So there's a lot of different small things that can go into making sure and ensuring that we are safe. Our police officers are hired by our taxpayers' dollars to protect and serve, not to kill us, to protect and to serve. So we must bring that mindset back out and be able to bring that and understand that.
Amen to that, and the brother Alexander. That is fantastic. I think we need to put that on some T-shirts somewhere around here. So one thing, that's fantastic. Now, as you mentioned, and I was aware of that statistic as well, in 40 years, a police officer for killing an unarmed man here in the Dallas Police Department has not been prosecuted. Okay, with that type of police violence and that type of ratio that we have here for the Dallas-Fort Worth area, do you believe that we, at Next Generation, as an organization, do you believe our voices can still be heard amongst that type of regime, this type of regime of not the police violence being, allowed in such a long tenure, a time for them to be able to do what they do and not be held accountable? Do you think... I know you do probably believe that you think our voices will be heard, and how will we go about them hearing us with, this establishment, especially with that type of statistic, hovering over us?
Well, I believe our voices is being heard in the community, and as long as we are basically working together and understanding what we're trying to accomplish in police reform, we will be able to accomplish some great things. So as long as all the organizations and different are working together and that everybody understands what people are trying to accomplish, there's several different organizations that's out there that's doing some amazing things as far as the police brutality ran. And definitely want to support them and keep on making sure that we're lining up with the things that's going to work for the better good of all the pending bills that's on the floor in different states and in the United States Congress. We definitely want to line up for that.
That is fantastic, and I tell you what, you guys are amazing. You're doing some wonderful things, and I will say, Brother Alexander, I live out here in the Plano, Texas area myself, but I was born and raised in Dallas and Oak Cliff myself, and I've seen the changes that are happening, and you're certainly right about that. Out here in the Fort North Dallas area, the police officers, they know the people in their community. I mean, you can ask them about a student at a high school, and one of them will say, oh, yeah, I know him, and I've met his family. I'm like, that's how it should be. Recently in the news not long ago, the Dallas sheriff had the officers board the BART rail system and ride with us in an attempt or making a good faith gesture to get to know the people in the community and say hello and reach out to them. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that move that they did?
Well, currently, we have a lot of things going on in our community that we must address them. And there's so much going on. So what we do is try to make sure that we address them one by one.
Okay. And that sounds good. And so so would you like to see more of that, the reaching out that the Dallas area policemen did when they boarded the dark trains and was kind of, you know, meeting with people on the trains out in the community? You know, some people, you know, you'll have the naysayers say, well, that's just a pony and dog show. But, you know, I thought it was an effort on their part. What do you think about that?
That's an effort in the right way. Let me tell you this. We got people and individuals out here, and I give little light, basically adherence towards people with that type of mindset. We got to repent. You get me? We got to come from it. It's certain individuals in the country that when I hear them, I'll be like, okay, well, are you wanting to repair this relationship or are you wanting to keep it like it is? And if you're wanting to repair this relationship, I believe that's the right step. Let's keep on encouraging that. If it's a dog and pony show, let's put our foot to the gas and make them keep on doing it. You get me? So that it would be more than a dog and pony show, and now we'll make sure we put our foot to the neck and making sure that they keep on doing it. So as long as you encourage yourself and steady working diligently and making sure that you're holding these officers across the country accountable towards their actions and the things that they're doing, encourage things that you feel that is a dog and pony show, encourage them to keep on doing it. Make sure they keep on doing it. And if they do not, make sure that you make your voices be loud and clear, that they use the publicity to make it seem like they were doing something and they wasn't. So make sure that you put your, because I know in the Dallas Police Department and the other police departments in the suburb communities, we're making sure that they're starting things and they keep on doing it, not something that they're just going to start and they just going to think it's going to blow over.
Right. That's fantastic. Now, I love that attitude, and that's how it ought to be, and I can understand. I feel your passion and your fire for it. It's amazing, and I'm glad that you're sharing that spirit out there, and that's the exact attitude we got to have, and that's exactly, that was a tactic itself of Martin Luther King Jr. to go out there. They wanted to find the city that's going to react the most negatively to their nonviolent approach, and that in itself brought all the attention of the wrongdoings of the races of that time to the national public, to the world public. So that's exactly, you guys are doing an amazing job, and that is such the right attitude to have. And at this time, Joel, I think I have gone through a lot of the questions. I don't want to run over too much of time and give everyone who's calling in a chance to ask Mr. Alexander some questions.
Great. Well, thank you very much, and I'm enjoying this interview from the both of y'all. We have a message that came over the Twitter line here, and it says, what is the Next Generation Action Group doing in other parts of the country regarding this nonviolent movement?
Well, currently, right now, we work with the Austin Coalition, the Houston Coalition. We work with the Honest Policing Organization. The Honest Police Organization is a group of retired police officers, about 200 police officers that have addressed the concerns of the culture of policing and that throughout the community. These officers from all over the United States. We work closely in New York. We work closely in Ohio, in Florida, in different parts of the country to address different things and being able to make sure that we gain our support in these areas, and we give our support in these areas addressing these strong concerns. So if we're not quite there yet, we're getting stronger in these areas and making sure that we give our support and we give a good platform for the Next Generation Action Network to be able to give their voice towards these issues.
Oh, well, thank you. That was Johnny that submitted that question there. And we have one from Mary here that I think we may have spoke on this earlier. If not, we can revisit it. Said, what are some of the proper channels to take when we are faced with police brutality?
Well, we talked about that earlier. One of the things is that we can't win it in the street. Make sure that we render an aid. Make sure that we're doing the proper protocols to make sure that we are our constitutional rights are not being violated when officers stop us, when officers ask us questions, different things like that. So definitely addressing some of the concerns that's going on in our community. And if we know the history. We know what's going on. Let's play it smart. Let's use our head when we're interacting with these police officers. Let's encourage our children to have the same mindset. We have a lot of young adults that feel that when the police stop them, they can say anything. They can work out, cuss them out. They can talk all kind of, you know. And it's, hey, we need to encourage our children to be respectful. And at the same time, as we ask that for you, we're making sure that the police are aligning up and addressing the concerns for them being more respectful. And, you know, sometimes I always hear people always say, you know, telling the community on certain things. Well, we always encourage community to stand up and be able to address the concerns that's going on. And at the same time, we address the concerns with the police departments throughout the country. So if we're working hand in hand with that, we'll be able to accomplish some great things.
That sounds good. Now, Ms. Alexander, as you put together your program that's out working the streets and working the civil rights movement, as you have meetings and planning, can the public come in and join in on what you're meeting and planning about and be a participant in some things that you're trying to change?
Yes. Our organization is a full membership organization. You can go on our website and join membership and be heavily involved on what we're doing and the plannings and the different things, the communities. We are creating chapters in different cities throughout the country. You can and you are invited to join our membership, and you can go on our website at NextGenerationActionNetwork.com.
That sounds great, then. Now, Mr. Alexander, now this is directly to you and your organization. What do you see the Next Generation Action Network being years from now? We know that you're on the forefront and there's a lot of things going, but what is the ultimate goal that your organization is working towards?
When I'm always asked that question, I tell you this, I was up to being a man of faith. I was given a vision by the Lord to open this organization. I pray that it is every bit of what God envisioned the Next Generation Action Network to be. I am fighting very hard to make sure that all the potential of what God has wanted this organization to be and what level it needs to be at, we're wanting to make sure that it goes in that impactful way. I see great things for the Next Generation Action Network in the years to come, and being able to be a dominant force throughout the country and throughout the world. So I definitely see some great things.
Amen. Mr. X, I want to let you know I really admire you and your program, because as I live here in Dallas, Texas, and I see how you're bringing together different ministries and organizations together to do a nonviolent protest, and you've been very successful at it. I know these things, there's nothing easy about this, but you're able to pull together different people, different nationality, different agendas, and all work under the same precept is to make change for the nation, make a social change, and it all starts with us. How do you manage to keep this here together regardless of all the things that you're going on, even in your own personal life? This is a challenge. What keeps you rooted and grounded in the movement?
Well, first of all, allowing God to bless you with a beautiful wife and a strong wife. That gives me a good load. That gives me a good support system. My wife is currently running for District 4 City Councilwoman in the area, Kiara D. Saunders.
All right.
District 4, held by Dwayne Carraway. And we just make sure that we keep our relationships, impactful and impactful, and making sure that we're outlining, you know, what some of the concerns is that the different organizations have and what our concerns is, and we find ways that we can work together. I'm very impactful in building a relationship with LULAC, the Texas Justice Seekers, the NAACP, different organizations that's been around for a long time, and making sure that we have a good relationship with these people.
That's good. That's good. And we will be mindful of your wife and the district in which she's running in. Amen. Because I know that y'all are doing some great things. It's beautiful when two can walk together in agreement, especially a husband and wife team now. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, y'all have to face each other. Now, the world no matter, but y'all have to face each other. Mr. Alexander,
yes.
I'm very heavily invested in the lives of our young men. I do a juvenile ministry. I go down to the prison. And the same thing that plagues our young men as well as our older men's. You have a podium. Could you address some of the issues that our young people are facing and let them know that they have a future, that this is not the end of it?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is not the end of it.
Yeah.
I like to expound on that one, Joe, because, you know, I'm always have a passion about the mass incarceration of African-American males, Latinos, and poor whites in this country. And so that's another issue in terms of equality and opportunity for minorities. It seems to be, for lack of better words, you know, it seems to be the needle is moving slowly on addressing that issue. And Texas happens to incarcerate more people than anyone in the United States. And when we talk about incarceration, you know, that's all we do. We build more prisons than we do colleges, and we pack them to the max with African-American males being over-sentenced for the crimes that that non-blacks commit. And so, you know, is there somewhere, will you guys also probably get into the weeds of that issue with regards to equality for minority people?
Well, we when I was 17 years old, my mom took me around to prison ministries and different things throughout the country. I was able to go minister to the people on B-01, B-02, different prisons throughout the state of Texas. And definitely mass incarceration is definitely one of those things that's on our radar to be able to talk about. In Texas, we have so many minorities behind bars. We have so much excessive charging in our communities. I think about a young man named Joseph Fowler. I love his story. Joseph Fowler was 17 years old, and when he was 17 years old, he met his first mother of his child, and at school, and he graduated. She was 16 years old. He graduated. He was 18 years old, and he continued his relationship with him, with this young lady, and basically he met and he got her pregnant, and the parents did not like it, and the parents called the police on him. He's about 50 something years old now, so that was about 30 years ago, so definitely around that primitive age. They called the police on him. And in that case or whatever, this guy ended up resulting in a sexual assault charge, him having to go to prison for this. You know, child is so old and, you know, definitely impactful in his life. You know, the mother of the child never wanted to bring this on him like that. Through the years in Dallas Police Department, Joseph Fowler, his children had got into some trouble. His son had gotten into some very trouble, guys showing up at the house with guns, and his son was in a shootout, different things. So he had to move his family. And one of the requirements is that you have to register as a sex offender. He moved his family. And when he moved his family, he did not do the proper different channels. But here's the thing. I understand that that is a violation. That is a violation, and we need to make sure that we protect our community from certain sexual predators in the community. But we, as a community, need to understand exactly the different levels of these cases and understand that before we look at it. But here's a man that was trying to only protect his family. If we look into the case, and you can actually look it up, whatever, and you actually look into the case, this is not one of those sexual predators. This was a guy growing up, and one person and one, two individuals end up getting mad at him because he had a relationship well past, you know, with a daughter, you know. And in this case, he was arrested in Dallas, and he was sentenced to 25 years at the age of 57 years old. So let me tell somebody, if somebody tell me, if that's not excessive charging and it isn't magnitude, if that's not unconstitutional, and that's done, that was done right here in Dallas County under District Attorney Craig Watkins' regime in the Judge Cruz court. We have this going on, and we must address it.
Yes, we do. Hey, man, thank you for enlightening us on these things. And these are some things that we need to bring to the forefront, because as we navigate through life, we have been pulled and tossed at every turn, and sometimes we feel hopeless. But I am so glad that your organization is a voice of hope. You know, your organization is a voice for those that seem to be voiceless. And so thank you there, Mr. Alexander. Mr. Alexander, this interview is about to come to an end. We had the phone lines lit up. A lot of people said they enjoyed the conversation. They said they have very many questions to present, but they wanted to just listen in. One question I'd like to just ask you before we get out, they said with all the protests and all the activity that are going on, is it making a difference? I know what the answer is, but you tell us that.
Is it making a difference? That's what you asked?
Yes, sir. Yes. That's what Mike wants to know,
sir. It's making business because it's making us very strong. Every time I go through a street, go to a city council chambers or a county commissioner chambers or different city officials, you can see the fear on their eyes and saying, okay, if we don't get this dude out of here and address his concerns, he's coming back to about 20 or 50 more folks. So, it definitely, and me and my wife and other people see it all the time, and definitely want to, you know, it is definitely being addressed throughout the community.
And that's great. I'm glad you said that, because sometimes people say, well, it ain't making a difference, but it is. Underlying it's shaking the very foundation of things that are not right, you know. The old foundation, the old ways are being torn down. And we want to thank you how your organization has reached across the cultural boundaries for the agenda, for age, and just reaching out to correct the wrong for all humanity. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Because of what you're doing, it gives men and women hope for the future, Ms. Alexander. Some things that we may not ever think of that's working against us, you're addressing those things. You know, so when the officers stop us and they know the right way to interact with us, it's because of organizations like yours, man. It ain't anything that I've done. They say, hey, now somebody is watching us. Somebody we have to be accountable for. Thank you for letting these programs and the police officers and the city officials be accountable to the people they serve. Thank you, sir.
It's wonderful, Mr. Alexander. It's wonderful. The Next Generation Network, you know, what you're doing, Action Network, is fantastic. I thank you for being a founder and a cheering day foot soldier for these issues that we have going on here. You're doing all the right things. You're going in all the right directions. And I'm definitely going to run back to I actually work with the director of the Human Rights Division at Southern Methodist University, and let Dr. Vic Halpern know about the Next Generation Network at Action Network and how young people maybe on campus can get involved with the organization as well. I mean, because it is a big thing. We do take a civil rights pilgrimage to all of the historical sites and places and venues and everything where a lot of the civil rights organizations happen. And we meet with the foot soldiers who are still alive today to tell us their stories up front and personal. And we visited the graves of one of the civil rights the young men that were killed up in Oxford, Mississippi, and they had the movie about them, Burning Mississippi. And so we do a lot of those different things, and those things are a trip that was a 7-day trip, seven cities. That's a trip that'll change your life completely. And I really would like to reach out, maybe touch bases with you, because I believe, to your point, education is a large part of this whole thing. And so when people go and are able to hear and see and even touch what the civil rights movement was all about, you cannot believe it's a life-changing experience. But I definitely have the Next Generation Action Network to go back and just boast about and tell them all the wonderful things that you all are doing, and I definitely intend on doing that.
Well, I could definitely let you know that we have on YouTube, we have a video where we went to speak to the SMU students about a month ago. And currently our executive director of the Next Generation Action Network, her name is Ms. Ailey Pope. She's on the Student Senate at SMU currently right now. And we're definitely looking forward into bringing a collegiate chapter on SMU this coming up fall.
Awesome, awesome. That would be wonderful. And it would be great to, again, I think that maybe, you know, have you guys come on a pilgrimage with us. And like I said, it'll change your life. It is sponsored by the SMU Theology Department. You know, we have ministers that.
Yeah, she's at the School of Perkins.
That's wonderful. That's exactly. I'm surprised. I'm sure she may have mentioned to you about the pilgrimage. It is an unbelievable, fantastic event that happens once a year. And I encourage anyone who has an opportunity to go on that pilgrimage to do so, because it is a mind-blowing, life-changing situation.
Oh,
I think all young people should definitely go on this particular trip. And there's information on the website about it as well.
That's great. That's great. God bless you. Looking forward to it. Mr. Alexander, you've been a great guest. We're looking forward to having you to come back again and keep us up to date on what's going on with the Next Generation Action Network, because that's a lot of work to be done. And we want you and your organization to know that you're not alone, that we're in the fight there with you. We're just on a different level than you are, and we're doing things different than you are, but we're working towards the same goal for social change for all people. And we want to thank you for what you're doing. And Mr. Alexander, we'd like you to come back later on to give us an update to keep us hooked up with what's going on, and just keep us energized. Encourage us, because sometimes we feel like we're in this fight alone, but we realize that we're not. God have a whole nation of men and women that's on the forefront that's fighting for equality for all men and women. So thank you for what you're doing, and keep doing what you're doing, and God get the glory.
Thank you too, Minister Lewis. I look forward to speaking to you later.
Well, great. God bless you. And you can always go back to this show, Blog Talk Radio, /Granny Plays, and encourage yourself on this interview. And thank you, Carl Reed, Mr. Alexander. Thank you very much, sir.
Reed.
Looking forward. Excuse me?
I said thank you, Ms. Reed.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Alexander. It has been a pleasure, and I hope to get in touch with you sometime, and we'll chit-chat later on. We've got in our own conversation, but we'll talk.
All right.
Yes, we
are. Oh,
thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. What a great interview that we had there with Mr. Alexander. Hey, man, what a great interview with the Next Generation Action Network. Thank you, Carol. Oh, man, that was mind-blowing, Carol. Thank you. What a great interview that we had. You know, the phone line was lit up, but we were unable to bring in the call as we wanted to. But we did have a couple of text messages and some questions that were presented to kind of things. I like to think about our senior hall, things will make you say, you know what? You really hit the mark on some of the questions there that you asked, Mr. Alexander. Now, Carol, I know that you've been on the forefront of this on social chain for quite a while, but yet you're still going. What keeps you going? When after all has been done, you know, what keeps you going?
You know what? My historical, person that does that, that inspires me the most, you know, was the spirit of Martin Luther King. You know, he was called to be on the forefront of a very, you know, at a time our nation in its most turbulent time. And nothing wavered him. He kept right on going. And it, because, you know, he understood that, you know, somebody must act, and the time was now. And so young men like Mr. Alexander, it reminds me so much of the spirit of Martin Luther King. And I take with me that. And once I have gone on, even before then, for some reason, even when I was a little girl, I did a report on Martin Luther King, the letter from Birmingham jail. And so it's always stayed with me. And once I got to SMU and got a chance to speak with human rights activists and experts and the death penalty experts and things that we address there, my passion grew and more so. But after I took that pilgrimage, I mean, that set a whole nother fire. And I can tell you right now, if you sit and stand in those places and listen to the foot soldiers who are still alive, they can tell you what they went through. Because a lot of people don't know, on that march from Edmund Pettus Bridge, the police didn't just beat them back to A.M.E. Brown Church. They beat them way back into the communities. They beat them way back into their homes, kicked down their doors, and continued to beat them on back past the church, on back past where they started the whole parade. So, you know, the march. So it's, you know, it's a thing. Once you hear the untold stories from people who were there and experienced it, you know that you cannot stand by and let their struggle and the things, the beatings, the incarceration that they took on our behalf, because we came way late on in the game. I mean, I wasn't even born, I think, when Martin Luther King was killed. So I cannot let their struggle and what they did for us in the past go in vain. There's no way. And I think that's the thing that we have to instill in young people. If they knew what people went through to get where we are today, they would stand up.
I know that's so true. I came at the end of the march and movement because Martin Luther King was assassinated, and things kind of went dormant. Our leaders kind of like wanted to take a back seat. They kind of reevaluated. Here it is, 20 years later, 30 years later, they seem to be still reevaluating. And Carl, sometimes things don't look like they know better than what it was back in the late 60s. With the killing and the police brutality and the wage discrimination, you know, just in the housing, you know. They said, we're going to give them a home, you know, with the fancy apartment. I'm just going to use the name, Rosemont Terrace, you know, the nice exterior. But they're grouping you. They know where you are.
Yeah.
And with the homelessness, I'm involved in homelessness. But on Sundays, at Sunday between 2 and 6, they know where the homeless population is because they allow you to sit up and feed. Because they say, well, for the next 3-4 hours, we'll have to worry about too much because the homeless population is gathered here and gathered there. Don't think that they're not watching. They know where you are. They know what's going on. They say, well, this is control. You know, this is a controlled environment, you know, so we're not fooling ourselves. So between the time of 2 and 6, a homeless population over here in East Dallas, over here in West Dallas, and so we controls that, you know, we allow them to do that. If they don't want us to do it, they come up and say, well, you don't have a permit. A lot of times people don't have a permit, but the city looks the other way because they say we know where these people are. And as long as they just feeding them and clothing them and not giving them no information they can use, we can use that to our advantage.
Right. Right. That you know, and you're so right about that. We can't continue to fall for the okie doke, as they used to say back in the day. We can't continue to make them think that that's going to be enough. That's not enough. There's a whole lot more that we need and demand from them, and they're going to have to answer one way or another. And the fact that nowadays, and this thing has, it seems as though we've taken some steps back with the civil rights movement because of all of the violence and the only thing about that is now today, you know, we have modern, it's weird now living in an electronic world where we can take pictures with our phones, record with our phones, we can do everything. And so, you know, now it's wonderful that people can just put this on we can now put this out there and let them know just how often this stuff is happening. But we're not going to fall for, you know, here you just give us to pacify us, you know, to put us in those places from 2 to 6 and pacify us. That's not enough. We need more than that, and they owe us more than that, because this country was built on the backs of our African slaves' ancestry. And therefore, yeah, you don't have to give us a 4 acres and a mule. We don't even want that anymore. That's not going to get us anywhere. We want the equal college, the equal rights that anybody else has in this country.
Yes, that's so true. Carol, we're about ready to get out of here. We want to thank you once again. You were a great and excellent co-host, and I was very blown away by the presentation that you presented. It was above excellency. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for spending time with us this morning. You could be doing a lot of other things, but you made yourself available to this program and to what Mr. Alexander is doing and what we're attempting to do in this program. This program, we want to bring about a social change. We want to bring about awareness. You know, we're a religious-based program, but we broaden the territory. We talk about things that's affecting society. And you know that this is, you know, and this is what religion is all about. You stated earlier how the church was involved in the nonviolent movement, how they brought people together, they bust people to the job, they were feeding people, all for the changing of a society and for making things equal. And that's what we need to do on program, you know, is to let people know that if someone else is out there doing some of the things that you're doing. Carol, you're not alone. Miss Alexander's not alone. There's a whole nation of like-minded men and women that are striving towards social change. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed you for having me on this morning and definitely for being able to interview with Mr. Alexander in this wonderful organization, Next Generation Action Network. One fantastic show this morning, Joel. Beautiful the work you're doing here for us to put this out on the platform for everyone to get this information about organizations such as and your program that continues to do great things and bring great topics to an audience out there. We appreciate you.
Well, God bless you, and we'll talk with you later. Amen. We're about ready to get out of here. And so thank you, everyone. Thank our listeners. Thank you for the calls that came in. Sorry we weren't able to get to you in a timely manner. But look forward to you joining us again next week for another great topics. And just continually to bring this to the forefront and let people know that you're not alone. That's what it is. You know, God is always there with us, but he also gives us men and women to walk beside and be like-minded. So thank you, my dear sister. Thank you, Mr. Alexander. And thank you, my calling. My call-in and listening audience, this show is sponsored by Granny Place. Granny Place is a nonprofit ministry that's attempting to reach the needs of our young men and women at risk. Granny Place have a website, grannyplaceministry.org. Please take time out to go visit the website and be involved in changing a life. As we get ready to get out of here, we want to be very mindful that we'll still have a lot of work to do. We want to be mindful that this is God's business. Amen. We want to be mindful that we should never give up on God, and God will never give up on us. And so if we get ready to get on out of here, we'll have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what we experience. We thank you for our guests and our co-host this morning, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for an opportunity, dear Lord, to share with our listening audience that there's an organization and there's a ministry, there's programs that are going out front, dear Lord, in addressing those needs that are plaguing society today. We ask you to continue to watch over Mr. Alexander, his family, his organization, dear Lord. Give them the wit that they need to attach the sign that which you have given them, dear Lord, for we know it comes from above. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for Sister Carol, dear Lord, that came out and shared her talent with us this morning. Dear Lord, we pray that you continue to watch over this show, watch over Beverly, and let this show be done the way that you want it to be done. We pray these in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Until we meet again, talk with you next week. Have a great weekend. Right.
Okay.